Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. My guest for today's show is Lynn Ray Lowe. Lynn Ray Lowe has lived her life somewhere between the right and left brain with zeal and achievements across many creative disciplines. Beginning at age 5 as a dancer, by age 9, she was an acclaimed actress playing opposite George C. Scott. She has continued as a stage actress, as a performer, and a writer. She also self-published a book and wrote newspaper articles as The Gardening Guru. Her first one-woman art exhibit was as a college sophomore. Since then, she has received 2 niche awards for creative design, garnered prestigious museum exhibits, as well as having international gallery representation. Starting as the caterer for the Telluride Film Festival, she eventually became projects and art director with a staff of 250 people. To her musical credit, she has sung in Carnegie Hall, as well as being producer of the Telluride Jazz Festival and station manager of an NPR radio station. As a teacher, she was an originator of Colorado Artist in the school program. Her adult program, Drawing It Out, is based on her core belief it's not that artists are special kinds of people, but rather each person is a special kind of artist. Her next phase of soul fulfillment is to share how you can tap into and use your creative juices to live a more joyful existence. To connect with Lynn Ray Lowe online, please visit her website, www.lynnraylowe.com. That's LynnRaeLowe.com. Welcome, Lynn Ray.
Hello, Margot. This has been a long time wish of mine, so I'm very glad to join you today.
Oh, it's been a long time wish of mine to have you on my radio show, too. You are such an incredible inspiration to me and such a part of our lives here in Green Bay and Marin County. Ever since I first found your beautiful, colorful ladies back in 2008, and that, you know, that whole thing of finding them on the 15th of December of 2008, in a shopping bag near the mailboxes at where our houseboat is in Yellow Ferry Harbor, and then having my sister Tina help me find you on the computer because I didn't know who had done the art, but I just knew I just loved these beautiful, colorful, joyful dancing ladies that I had found. And people just leave things out by the mailboxes by where our office is in Yellow Ferry Harbor. And so it's kind of like people can share what they no longer want or have a use for. And most likely it was somebody else's gift, I suppose, that they had gotten, and they for some reason didn't want it or it didn't work with their decor. But it fits so beautifully in our house, Lynn Ray, and it is just such a treasure. I've got it on my Facebook right now as my cover shot, and it's in the pictures, the same one is in the pictures, only it has candles in it for the slides that
Margot,
I put for the show.
When you told me this story when you found me, it really moved me. And what I have found is that many things come to you in inexplicable ways, come to us in inexplicable ways. But if we keep our intentions clear and our dreams profoundly connected to our spiritual goals, things will come to us. That was a $300 surprise in a paper bag. And in most likelihood, the way I pictured it was that somebody had perhaps used it for the holidays, was traveling and didn't know how to take it back home and left it to recycle it. And it went right into the right hands because it connected us. We've often said that those girls on the menorah have dancing legs, and they have just danced across the world, and this one just danced right into your life.
That is so true. You know, it's so funny because at that point in my life, I was looking to release things and not to bring more things into my life. So I remember looking in the bag, but it was a really nice shopping bag, one of the big kind like you buy presents with. And I remember looking in the bag and thinking, oh, wow, these are awesome. And it was funny because at first I didn't even realize it was a menorah. I didn't know that. I thought, you know, if anything, I had just learned about Kwanzaa not that long before it. And because it was so colorful, I originally thought maybe it was for Kwanzaa. And then I think it was Dudley probably that told me, you know, or maybe our son Xander, he might have said so as well, that no, it's a menorah. It's for Hanukkah. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I just love it. And then after I tracked you down, excuse me, and we talked, I realized that I was thinking about originally having your sculpture on the cover of my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, and then Dudley, my husband, decided that what he would do is make a blend of your art and our friend Laurel Birch's Colorful People to put on the cover of the book, and that's what ended up being on the cover of the book when I first released it in 2009. And, you know, Lynn Ray, it's funny because when I look back on that, I just loved the colorful dancing people and that they reminded me of your art and the connection I felt with you and also with Laurel Birch and how much we loved her and what a part of our family she was. But they also reminded me of my mom and Alex, our son, being a kid. He was Alex when he was a kid. He's Xander now. And it kind of reminded me also of the Power Rangers, the ones that are on my book. They look different, mm-hmm. different and yet very similar to yours. And, yeah, I don't know. You know, it just, that was such a perfect thing for it to be on the cover of it back in 2009. And then toward the end of last year in 2013, just before Christmas, Balboa Press republished my book, and it's now got a cover photo of a sunset I took in Maui. And, you know, it's funny because in a way both covers make sense for it, because the first one is about living a joyful life and how much I love kids and art and playfulness and fun. And then the other one, the Maui sunset, has to do with enjoying our time here on Earth, because none of us know how long we're going to be here. And so,
there's a very natural segue in that, Margo, because the way to enjoy your life is certainly by being happy and joyful, and to looking toward however you can find it. For myself, I think it's mostly by looking in and being stimulated from without. But a sunset really does speak to a fulfillment and a taking in. So I think that both of those books, covers are probably good, but above all, sometimes it's good just to bring in new energy and change things. And so I applaud your decision to use your own image of the sunset.
Oh, thank you. And the other reason that it made so much sense, too, though, is that I started thinking about the fact that I have changed and revised so much of the book. It's still basically the same book inside for the most part, but I had grown so much, and when I revised it and edited it and added things in, it's definitely not the same book. So I didn't want people to think that it was the same book either, because it isn't. But I just, you know, I've always loved those colorful people, and they always make me think of you, and they always give me joy. So,
well, I think your point is well taken about changing and revising. I think it is Sogyal Rinpoche says in his Tibetan book, The Living and Dying, that when speaking about how we change in our life, he points out and says, you know, even my signature is no longer the same. My soul is. So I think it's essential for us to be able to recognize the transitions that we go through, the cycles that we go through, to honor them, and to, again, most of my pieces have their hands up. Why? Because it is basically a declaration and intention of living your life in the most joyful way that you can, which is why not only was it wonderful that you found the menorah, but with a middle name of Joy, it was just perfect.
I know. And speaking of that, you know, I just love all of the images that I put on the slideshow. I call it a slideshow, but, you know, people mm-hmm. can click the arrow and they can go through and look at all the images. And I love all of your art that I've seen, but it's just, there is one that, it's an angel that has joy. And I love that.
Exactly.
And then there's one. Yeah. And then there's another one that's holding a music. It was a treble clef music.
Exactly.
So it's a music.
That was a very, I make a lot of my art, and your listeners should know this. And in particular, the clef was the result of a very, very sad thing that happened here in Tucson, where was murdered, actually. And that was a fundraiser that we made for her and her family. And
mm-hmm.
it was just the most beautiful symbol that we could come up with, that showed her love of music, being a cantor, and
mm-hmm.
also just her love of her, just her whole beautiful uplifting personality. So we do things like that to try to bring peace to people in times of transition, as well mm-hmm. as ritual items to use in times of a transition of a different sort. So we love to create specific art for people.
Oh, wow. And it's, you know, that art there, too, is another reminder to live your music to do it. The
yes.
reason I titled my show Live Your Music is because of Wayne Dyer always saying, don't die with your music still in you. And I wanted to say it without the don't and without the die. And so I thought, what could I say to myself? And I thought, live your music, Margot. Live it now, you know. And
that's a beautiful experience. Absolutely,
yeah.
Beautiful expression.
And so, you know, that art is a symbol also of a reminder of us all, for all of us out in the world, to live the music we hear calling us right now, you know, not to put it off, because none of us know how long we're going to be here. You know, we have no idea, and yet we all go around acting like we're going to be here forever.
Well, I think that's one of the things about my art and about my personality that comes together. And even what I'm trying to do as I move forward in my life, I have found myself, and I can only speak for what has worked for me, that the best thing for me to continue to grow and evolve is to not turn away from opportunities, but to look for ways to change and grow. And I think that our society has an unfortunate tendency to try to get us stuck in what we do, and to get this, you know, to get a persona, and then to make your living as that persona, and to do these other things. I really believe that the most joyful life is a life where somebody says, why not? Instead of, as you're saying, in the negative, you know, not putting it in negatives. And I think that art and music, the creative fields, imagination, dreams, are all ways that we as individuals can play our music, live our music, and find our own imagination and creativity, and not be stuck to what we're doing because it's good because it's familiar, because it's what we've done. So I applaud again that you have retitled what you're doing and have started the show as a way to inspire people to realize that that music is inside of us, and it's up to us not only to hear it but to play it out.
Oh, it's so true. And some people, well, a lot of people get it right away. They go, oh, live your music. I totally get it. And then some people kind of look at me like, what? And excuse me, the people that look at me that way are usually ones who are stuck, Lynn Ray. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're of the belief that you have one thing that you do. In other words, you know, like you go to a party and people go, what do you do? And you say, well, I'm a lawyer, or I'm a doctor,
exactly.
or I'm a
mm-hmm.
whatever. And, you know, for a long time, there's a woman in my Toastmasters club that had said that she wished she could just go to a party and just say she did one thing, because there were so many different things that she does. And I could totally relate to that, because I've never wanted to do just one thing. But when you do go to a party, sometimes it can be hard if you're with people that are like that, that are so left brain. And you had said that you live your life somewhere between the right and left brain, with zeal and achievements across many creative disciplines. That is so true of you. But I would say that you're more toward the right, wouldn't you?
No, not really. I would say that at times of my life I might go more toward the right or more toward the left. But, you know, I was at one time in 300 galleries around the world, and I was really involved in the wholesaling of art. And it isn't just when you're a wholesaler, it isn't just doing the art itself. It's making the orders. It's selling the work. It's taking care of shipments. It's doing the marketing. That is all the opposite side of the brain from the person which we think of that is the artist. And I think that that really is the reason why I have been blessed by being successful, is that I take so much part of my day and do my creative work, and I take other parts of my day and do the business of art, because that is what I do for a profession. So, and now when I'm doing so much teaching and writing for celebrations right now, I feel that I really am still, if not, I actually think I'm right more in the middle right now than I've ever been before.
That's interesting, and you know, that's actually a more balanced way to be.
I think it is.
So,
I think it
is. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be seen as a single dimensioned person. I mean, I love clothes, and as much as I love changing my clothes and dressing up and playing parts, you know, part of my actress persona, I really want to be able to, within a day, take a wide berth. But the thing is, I don't want to swing so wide that I get nothing done. You know, I still need to have a discipline and an objective and an intention. And I have said that what makes me, I think, a fairly unusual artist is that I deal from intention. I deal from, okay, what do I want to do? This is the goal, whether it's for the art, for the marketing or the teaching. It's outside of me. And then I go toward that goal. Well, part of it is the creating of it. The other part is the manifestation of it and making it live and have legs like those dancers in this world. So I have to live between those two places. And to me, also having previously been an astrologer, I used to tell people when I would read their charts that the best way is not to live on the mountaintop and slide down to the valley, in my opinion. The best way to try to live your life is just right in the middle, in a very, it's like what you were talking about with Abraham Hicks, never trying to go upstream, but rather just following the path down the middle, down the stream to your goal, and just knowing you have a destination and you're moving toward that destination, and you're just flowing through your life, and you lose an angst. And I think that's really what I try to do, is lose my angst.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And, you know, the thing is that somewhere between 2009, when I first published the book, and when the end of 2013, when it came back out, I started realizing that our son was in college during 2009. He graduated in 2012 in May with a BFA in film production from Chapman University. And he's been working down in Hollywood as an assistant film editor. So, you know, he's really happy, and he's doing what he loves and using his talents and abilities. I started realizing, though, that I was trying, even though I'd heard that over and over again, to go downstream, that everything we want now is downstream, it's not back upstream. I was really trying to paddle back upstream because I missed him being a little guy, you know. I really missed him being here at home. I missed the Power Rangers, my mom being here and us watching Power Rangers with him, you know. So this year has been really a year of letting go for me, of letting go of and realizing that, hey, you know, I really like where I am right now, and I'm looking forward to the things that are coming up next on the stream. So I think we all go through times where we want to hold on to the past, to happy times in the past. And speaking of that, it reminds me of your husband, Buck, and about he's been gone for 14 years. And he was such a big part of your creativity. And you know, tell us just a little bit about him and how he influenced you with your art and your music.
Thank you for asking about him. Buck was very important. We had been actors together and on radio together and on stage together. And when we came from Telluride down to Tucson, he got a job, a very good job in radio, and I went back to school and continued my art degree, which had been interrupted to have my children, and went back to college with them. And as fate would have it, he ended up losing his job a couple of months before I graduated from college. And as a result of that, I had to we had just redone the house, and I had to make my own table because I was a sculptor. He says, we don't have any money to buy a table. If you want a table between your two couches, you know, you're going to have to do it, which I did. And that's the piece that eventually became the menorah. And we had really prayed that we would find a hot cake together and be able to work on a way that we would be able to form a living. And what happened was, it wasn't a hot cake. We teased it was a latke, which is a Jewish pancake, potato pancake. And that menorah changed our lives in a way that I can't even begin to tell you. It gave us financial stability. You're talking about Xander leaving home. It coincided when my youngest child left home. I hadn't a moment of empty nest syndrome because we were traveling all over the world, and I had become an international artist overnight. And he was the kind of guy that only signed my name in the menorahs in a Dremel tool. Every one of them, he signed my name, not his. So when he passed away suddenly in 2000, about 4 years after we started to make the menorahs, I tried very, very hard to carry forward on the business. And there were outside signs, like China had come onto the market. It was a very bad year years economically. And I kept on trying to pull and be with Buck. And I realized on one day, over a period of time, that I was literally trying to pull dead weight forward. And I realized that where Buck was wasn't in what we had done, but in what I had been gifted in working with him. And so I had to go and reinvent myself. And so I really, when I speak about people being stuck, I've had a very blessed life, but a lot of it has come through just keep going. And just keep going, just keep trying, just keep on having that vision. Make as little steps as you possibly can, row downstream, pray to your God, whatever ritual or way works for you, keep going, keep believing, because those people who have come before you, supported you, they're still there, just outside of their body, and they're still accessible to you in the inspiration and the memories. So he really did help me to stand on my own shoulders to recreate a brand new type of art that just yesterday somebody was at the house and looking in the gallery at some of the work. And I hear this all the time, Margo, when they're looking at my paintings, my illuminations. They look at them and they go, oh, my God, I've never seen anything like that before. And I have to tell you, as an artist, that's about the only thing that's a better is to hear somebody say, I'll buy it. If they can't buy it, to recognize that you have contributed something new is such a wonderful thing. And I think I have that because I have Buck and all that he gave me to stand on his shoulders to be able to move forward. So he's still very much here, and he very much influences my work. And I just want to tell you quickly a very funny thing that he used to always say to people. And I've said this to many people in my life. He'd be at a party, and he would say to a man, are you prepared to answer your wife's eternal question? And I knew what the answer was. Like, I'm like, here it comes. And the gentleman would say, yeah, what's your wife's eternal question? And he would say, what have you done for me today? And I would laugh. Well, isn't that funny? Ha, 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 ha. But, you know, when he was gone, what I realized, and I say this to everyone, you don't know what you have until it's gone.
And I know, that saying is so true.
It's so true. And so when you talk about live your music, don't die with it in front of you. You don't know your potential. You don't know what you can do until you try it, until you really try it, until you look around and recognize all of the things and honor what has brought you, who you are, and where you are in this moment. And that's what Buck has given to me. And that's what's accessible to anyone, whether or not they've lost somebody. But it's an awareness of how much other people are a blessing in your life before you're at a position, which I hear as a celebrant and doing funerals a lot, if mm-hmm. only I had known, I would have done it differently. That's not a really uplifting way to have to make an awareness that you've missed somebody.
Right.
So I say kiss everybody.
Hug everybody
that you can.
Well, that's why I always sign all my emails, love and hugs, too, because, you know, I always want to be saying love you, and I always want to be giving out hugs, you know. So, wow, our time is just going by so incredibly fast. I knew it would. And before I forget to mention it, next week on December 17th, 2014, my guest will be Christine Carlson. She's the wife of Richard Carlson and the Don't Sweat mm-hmm. the Small Stuff books, and
sure.
She lost him in 2006 on the 13th of December. So she's had to do a lot of what you're doing too, Lynn Ray, of listening to him from him being non-physical and carrying on and reinventing herself. So it's almost going to be like a continuation of this conversation in a lot of ways.
Well, it's a conversation that needs to be had. It really does. I do want to mention to you, however, that mm-hmm. If people see the menorah and they would like to have it, we're right before Hanukkah, and we don't have a lot of them in stock, but mm-hmm. if they're interested, we're offering your listeners a $25 discount on them by going to www.linraylow.com and going into the shop. And I believe the code for you, did I write you what the code was?
I think you did, but I didn't write it down.
Okay, I can.
But the other thing
is, I'm
going
to get it really quick.
Well, people will be listening to the recording of this for a long time, too. So maybe it's best if we post it with the email that we send out. So, because
okay,
it's probably for this year only, right? You know, it's not forever.
It's through December 2014, yes. But we'll send you that code and make sure that it's available. And, you know, they can also send me a letter, and if they say if there's no code, I heard you in relationship to a show with Margot, I would certainly honor that. But go to the website and see my work. If you need any art consultation, if you need to know anything about being a celebrant, if you need to know anything about Drawing It Out, which is a program to find your own inner creativity, please get hold of me through the website, and I'd be happy to continue this conversation with anyone who is interested.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, Lynn Ray, I definitely want to have you on again sometime as soon as possible.
It was going to go so quick.
Yeah, well, there's so many other things that we can talk about, and we will have you back on the show as soon as I can.
Very good.
Oh.
I wish you all a happy, happy holidays, and I know that you have your Hanukkah, you have your Hanukkah, and I wish good luck to Xander, too. Perhaps he'll sometime be up in Telluride for the film festival, and I'll catch him up there.
That would be awesome. Before I end the show today, I just want to remind everyone listening to us, what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limits and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Oh, Lynn Ray, you are such a constant inspiration to me and to our family, and such a big part of our family. And I know you have a birthday coming up the day before mine. Yours is the 24th, right? Yeah.
Yes. And you know what I'm doing this year? That's really interesting.
No.
55 years minus 4 days of my date that I should have been bat mitzvahed, I am having a bat mitzvah ceremony on December 20th.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's just because I think it's really important to create rituals and declare different times of our lives. So 55 years later, I'm doing what I could have done 55 years earlier.
Well, for the live show, it's going to be cutting off in just a second, but we'll have a couple of minutes leeway mm-hmm. for the recording.
And so people that are listening live can listen to the recording here the last couple minutes. But I just wanted to say again, thank you so much for creating your beautiful dancing ladies and your art of all kinds, and for being just such an incredible inspiration to us.
Thank you very, very much. I really honor that, and thank you.
I wish you a super joyful birthday, happy Hanukkah, bat mitzvah, all of it. So thank you again for being on my show, and let's talk again sometime soon.
Thank you very much.
Bye for now, everyone. Have a great rest of the week. Bye.